Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Wednesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Good, bad, crazy martinis for you, as usual. And, Jim, we've been talking a lot about how Obamacare may impact a number of very important Senate races come 2014, and one of those is Louisiana. We've just talked about in recent days how Mary Landrieu's numbers are not good, and we also played a clip of Mary Landrieu basically doubling down on Obamacare, saying that, the rollout has not been great, but overall the concepts of the bill are really, really good. But now Mary Landrieu trying to distance herself from one controversy, but we believe setting herself up for a whole lot more trouble. Here's her latest ad.
Hundreds of thousands of people across the country losing their current coverage.
The administration is under pressure to act fast.
What I've said to the president is, you told them that they could keep it.
Landrieu has introduced the Keeping the Affordable Care Act promise.
I'm fixing it, and that's what my bill does, and I've urged the president to fix it.
Senator Landrieu says President Obama needs to stick to his word.
This is a promise that you made. This is a promise you should keep.
Then the very end of the ad says, the result, and it shows a newspaper headline with a headline to the effect of people now allowed to keep health insurance, basically saying that the president's unilateral one-year extension that might not even be possible is her solution to the problem, essentially meaning, Jim, that anything else that continues to go wrong, she's apparently okay with.
Yeah. The dedicated listeners of the Three Martini Lunch will recall that I was among those saying, look, Mary Landrieu's in a really rough spot. She doesn't have any good options. So by golly, saying that she's sticking with Obamacare and she's proud of her vote, that might be the best option she had, that she would never be able to plausibly recast herself as an opponent of Obamacare or a critic of the administration. Well, a week goes by, more polling looks bad, and she now does a 180 and attempts to pose as, oh boy, nobody's tougher on Obama than she is. The newspaper headline she points to at the end is just flat misleading. There were a whole bunch of states where they said, nope, sorry, state insurance commissioners wouldn't allow it. Some companies said, yes, we can reinstate them, many times at a higher price. Some said that they just flat out couldn't. There just wasn't enough time to re-implement them and bring them back after they've, you know, all been canceled. What she's basically saying is if you like your plan, you can keep your plan maybe for a year, and then you lose it, which is not really a solution for most folks. So a good sign of panic and desperation on her part. Polling is exactly what you'd expect in a fairly red state for a Democratic senator who voted for Obamacare. And for her to really make this kind of an about face, this is kind of a Hail Mary pass on her part, no pun intended. And I think she's going to – I'm very skeptical it'll work, and I think it indicates that just how toxic Obamacare is in these red states for Democrats.
Let's move on to our second and third martinis now, both of which deal with yesterday's memorial service for Nelson Mandela. But in an odd confluence of events, the tribute to Mandela was kind of – not even talked about much yesterday because of all the oddities that happened at this service, one of which was the much ballyhooed selfie taken by the Danish Prime Minister along with President Obama and British Prime Minister David Cameron. The one that's getting the more geopolitical scrutiny was this moment as the president was welcomed and introduced up on stage at the beginning of the memorial service, and Christian Amanpour couldn't be more delighted.
Before I came on, we were walking around and talking to security officials.
He's shaking hands with Raul Castro.
As Christian points out, President Obama just shook hands with Raul Castro from Cuba. What does that say as a gesture?
It says that this is a moment of reconciliation for Mandela, and President Obama is doing the diplomatic thing. He's not just going to walk by and ignore these people who are there.
This is a man, and it is so true, who brought people together in life, and he continues to bring people together in death.
Jim, so many different ways to look at this. First of all, that's so over the top. Secondly, if this had been a Republican administration, especially back during the Cold War, I'm pretty sure they would have found a way for the president to come on stage from a different direction and not have to shake his hand. And for a lot of Cubans, this is a very difficult moment, because especially those who have come to this country and have very difficult feelings towards the Castro regime.
Yeah, I mean, a couple of thoughts. First of all, Christian Amanpour and the CNN anchor, it's very strange to see people doing play-by-play commentary on a memorial service. Greg, why did they have John Gruden there as the third person in the booth? breaking out the telestrator, showing how Obama maneuvered his way around to shake Raul Castro's hand.
I'll tell you that, Raul Castro, he's a good one. Look at him. Look at that handshake. That's firm.
This guy is brutal, man. This guy, you know. So, yeah, it's very, you know, that's a pretty good Chucky impression, by the way. So you have this odd situation in which the entire memorial service is not being treated as a very solemn event. It was this very, they said, you know, kind of almost party-like atmosphere. I suppose you can kind of forgive the selfie if the Danish prime minister asks for a selfie. I guess it might be rude to turn down the photo. The handshake with Castro, I suppose you could argue Obama's just being polite and it would be more rude to, you know, extend the hand and then wipe your hair and say, psych, you know, or something like that. Having said that, it does fit a pattern with this administration of Obama is constantly reaching out to people, some of the world's most ruthless dictators. And, you know, there are other cases where it's felt like Netanyahu has been snubbed or the Dalai Lama forced to use the rear entrance of the White House and walk past the trash and stuff like that. People notice these things. Certainly the Florida's Cuban-American community is outraged by this. And let me just observe, am I crazy for thinking, Greg, that if you have political prisoners, you really don't belong in a Nelson Mandela memorial service?
You could certainly make that argument.
Last night I reported Ted Cruz said that he walked out when Castro started speaking because think about it. I mean, like, what was Mandela best known for? Being imprisoned for a cause that he believed in and also perhaps some, you know, something what we would characterize as terrorism earlier in his career. But Mandela stood for a political idea of freedom and free elections and equality between people based on color, none of which are present in Cuba right now. Raising the question of why Raul Castro was such a welcome figure at this. And some people were responding, oh, Ted Cruz was rude to walk out of Raul Castro. You know, believe me, rudeness is the least of what Castro deserves. It would have been nice to see Obama take a tougher line on this. I suppose you can make, you know, look, when we've reached a deal with the Iranians, when we're entrusting Bashar Assad to give up his weapons program after using chemical, like, in a way, a handshake is like fairly low on the scale of foreign policy outrages by this administration, but it just continues to fit a rather disturbing pattern that this is a president who's always willing to go the extra mile with some of the world's worst leaders, while at the same time sometimes snubbing our closest allies.
All right, on to the third martini now, and this is also related to the memorial service. From the Associated Press, a man who provided sign language interpretation on stage for Nelson Mandela's memorial service, attended by scores of heads of state, was a fake. The national director of the Deaf Federation of South Africa said on Tuesday, 3 sign language experts said the man was not signing in South African or American sign languages. South African sign language covers all of the country's 11 official languages, according to the federation. It wasn't immediately clear if the unidentified man was using a different method to communicate. The unidentified man was seen around the world on television next to leaders like Obama, moving his hands around, but there was no meaning in what he used his hands for, according to the Federation's national director. It was horrible. An absolute circus. Really, really bad. Only he can understand those gestures. So, Jim, somebody dropped the ball there, it seems like.
Well, that's kind of a preview of this week's opening sketch of Saturday Night Live. What it now certainly appears to be is that at some point, some guy who really wanted to get into the memorial service bluffed his way in and said, I'm the sign language guy. Then, you know, it's almost like Frank Drebin pretending to be Enrico Palazzo, the opera singer, or the umpire in the Naked Gun. And he gets in there. And of course, I mean, you know, on the one hand, you got to give this guy some credit for having chutzpah, shall we say, of having one, you know, to going through with it. Because, you know, and to act, you know, hold stone face and to pretend that he's actually doing sign language. It says something that, you know, he goes up and he does it. And I suppose anyone in the audience who knew it might have believed, oh, is this a different sign? You mentioned that, you know, there's South African sign language. I was not aware how much languages can be different amongst sign languages. So I suppose everyone's thinking, well, maybe he's doing something differently. But it sounds like there was no connection there. And if, you know, as he repeats words, if he does different signs, that's a good sign that he's making it up as he goes along. Bizarre and kind of funny and kind of disconcerting. I mean, you know, certainly this guy just wanted to get into the service, but imagine if this guy had been up to no good, you know, and somehow managed a way to bluff his way past security and all these things. So it's funny, but kind of slightly disturbing development and just adds a nice surreal layer to what was supposedly be a very solemn day in South Africa.
Yeah, to say the least. On that note, Jim, have a great day. We'll talk again tomorrow.
See you tomorrow, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today, and please join us again on Thursday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.